it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
First, you got to be able to protect and give Jones a chance to throw the football.
Jones on 34 over the middle. It's caught. Kendrick Bourne, and he strolls in. Touchdown.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
This is Spiro Dietis of CBS. Mac Jones.
Mac!
Set to start at quarterback for the 49ers on Sunday in New Orleans. We'll see after that. John Lynch has indicated it's kind of a week-to-week thing is how they're looking at it. So he won't be quarterbacking Sunday, but we'll see after that.
Yeah. So you got a problem with me saying it's the Mac attack. I want to shout out Grandy. He checked on me too, Stoney. So, you know, I was down. Miss you and Evan. But I'm going to say this to the people that are at work and their jobs, just living their life. I have more fun at work than I do in my regular life. So I'm blessed. So when I'm not here, I miss that. Just the camaraderie and everything. The crossovers. How's that been?
Yeah, perfect. Fine.
Is Willard Dibbs back with the Giants?
Because
they had a funeral.
Yeah.
2 hours.
It's a muted response from them on the Giants.
I got you.
Anyway, the 49ers are going to play with a backup quarterback on Sunday. George Kittle's also going to miss the game. The Saints are the opponent. And my question to 49er fans, we're going to jump into it now, is okay, it's a week-to-week thing with Purdy. That's all we know. Could be 2 weeks, could be 5 weeks, could be something. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Does that change your expectations for the season, for the whole season for the San Francisco 49ers? Let's start out with Scott. Scott's all right. In Pleasanton. Wants to jump in here and get us rolling. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Steiny, good. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I think I'm with you on this one, Steiny. I think when you went out and got Mac Jones, you knew at some time during the season, maybe this is a little earlier than we expected, that there would be going to need a backup. And a backup that could actually scheme with Kyle's strategy. Mm. I think what Kyle needs to do is make sure that he doesn't make any major mistakes. If he throws two INTs, they're going to have a hard time winning. Okay. The other temperature check that I haven't heard much of is two things, actually. Is one, the defense. The defense, can they hold the Saints to 10 or less, putting less pressure on the offense to produce? The answer would be yes. Okay, so this is going to be a very defensive game, scheme heavy. Kyle making sure that maybe he goes east to west before he goes north to south, using Robinson Jr. Maybe in the slot like he did Debo, mixing things up, being a little bit more conservative, making sure that mistakes aren't made, and making sure they come away with a win, whether it's 3 points, 6 points, 7 points, or a point, come away with the win. I think down the road, what you have to worry about is the mileage you put on McCaffrey due to these circumstances. Mm. One, with the receivers out, having to be run heavy to set up the pass, and two, just the wear and tear he's going to have being highly dependent on him now that he's healthy. When you get to the Arizona game, I think when you get down the road, even though the schedule's light, I think that's where the concerns needs to be. But I think they've tightened up the defense compared to last year, so the dependency on the quarterback being the dominant guy, having to put up 20, 30 points a game, I don't think is dependent this year that it was in previous years. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. Yeah. Appreciate the call.
And I said that the first words out of my mouth is I'm giving Kyle credit for upgrading. Shout out Apple, the backup quarterback position for the 49ers. Imagine what Niner fans and you yourself and myself would feel like if Brandon Allen was quarterback in this game. And I'm not throwing stones at him, but that Buffalo game last year, Sunday night in the snow, I know Mother Nature was acting up, but the bottom line is, man, your confidence meter would probably be on a 1 out of a scale of 1 to 10. Now, who's to know if this dude doesn't, you know, is playing for a job, Mac Jones, to show everybody what I can do in a competent offense with a competent offensive coordinator?
I mean, in times like these, you always look for a silver lining. And I think the 49ers have one in a big way. And it is the stereotypical way that we talk about backup quarterbacks and what you need them to do. And that's keep you alive. Have you survive when the starting quarterback's out. John Lynch is calling this a week-to-week thing. We've heard a different set of numbers. We don't know now how long he's going to be out. But here is the way I look at it. Okay, you've lost Brock Purdy. For how long? Two or three games. All right. Let's just say two or three games right now.
Gotcha.
Okay, well, let's look at these three games. At the Saints versus the Cardinals versus the Jaguars. So when I think about what I want my backup quarterback to do, and when I look at the games that he's going to quarterback in the next three, and my goal for a backup quarterback is, can he keep us in it? Can you win a couple games when Purdy's gone? Like, that's all still there for him. Like, it's not like they're playing the Packers, Eagles, and Chargers. You know? I mean, they got to beat them,
yeah.
But they're playing the Saints, Cardinals, and Jaguars. And you got Mac Jones quarterbacking. Can he win one of them? Could he win two? Like, that's now where you're at until Brock Purdy comes back.
Now, we know the NFL is, it's a car wreck. It's a car accident every Sunday. Am I being too pessimistic because of the ramifications of losing your starting quarterback and you got Mac Jones? Stoney, things happen. They happen in this league fast. And if you watch one game of the San Francisco 49ers and see who's not playing right now, that's Exhibit A. But they're one hit away, and every team. But what if something were to happen to Mac Jones?
Then they're done. Seriously.
See, that's where you go.
I mean, then they're in big trouble.
I'm looking at Martinez, Kansas State. I mean, like, that's how fickle this thing is, though, partner. And you, we can't control that.
Right, and that's why I don't worry about the things you can't control. If Mac Jones gets hurt,
right,
then you're playing a third-string quarterback, and you're in trouble.
Mm.
I mean, there's just no way around that. Speaking of a third quarterback, here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say about one.
I mean, we'd love to have three guys in the building ready to go. We obviously still got Brock, but he's not going right now. We've got some roster issues where we just can't bring one in right away.
All right, so there was Shanahan. They got to figure some stuff out. Let's go to Mark in San Francisco. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Listen, if this was a playoff game versus the Cowboys, Guru, I think Purdy would play, don't you think?
Let me ask you this real quick. When we hear 2-5, I'm just asking you because he finished the game, but what's making you think that?
That in itself, he finished the game.
Mm.
No one even knew he had turf toe. He played that game out, and matter of fact, he won the game with the turf toe. And so he could play. If it was a playoff game, if it was a serious game, he would play. Now, the Cardinals, if they had Steve Wilks, I'd be concerned with them, but he's gone now, right? He's no longer there. Kyle couldn't beat Steve Wilks. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah,
he couldn't beat Steve Wilks.
Right.
Okay. Now, Jacksonville, those Florida boys, that's going to be a tough game because of the quarterback and just the fact that we don't really see them that often. That's going to be a tough game. I guarantee it will be. But we can beat them. Purdy may play. He may not. But it's good that we do have Mac Jones because he has to play. Don't you want to see him play? I know I do. I kind of do.
I'd like to, you know, if I'd be a Niner fan, I'd want him to make the playoffs, and I'd like to see Mac Jones play two or three games right here.
Right, right. Remember when Montana and Young were together? I wanted to see Steve Young play, too.
And you did.
Yeah, I remember that. Right. I remember those days. And he did. And he won a Super Bowl. So, well, we're not worried, man. At least I'm not.
Thanks, Mark. Know? Appreciate it.
Interesting, Matt. He said if it were a playoff game, Purdy could go. And a lot of that is he's basing it off of him finishing the game and not one soul. Kyle, I believe I heard him speak, said he was aware of the toe injury during the game. But Brock John Wayne did out. But we'll see moving forward. Now, you said it, but I'm going to use a different word. Stoney, it is lightweight enticing to see if Kyle gets his hands on Mac Jones, which he does, how good Mac or bad Mac Jones will look.
It's funny because somebody on the YouTube chat said, excuse me, what if What if Mac Jones looks great? Great. Then you got a backup quarterback who's better than you think.
Well, but there's nothing popping off here
because of
the bag that Purdy has earned and has. So we know what that's my CNN, study. The politics of it is follow the money, and there's no way Mac Jones could supersede Brock Purdy.
Don't forget, even though the 49ers don't have Brock Purdy, they'll have a nice little thumper in their backfield, Christian McCaffrey. Here's what Greg Cosell said about his 31-touch performance.
I thought McCaffrey looked fine. I thought that the Seahawks did a really good job of controlling and filling gaps. So therefore, there was just not a lot of space. But I thought he ran hard. I mean, just look, this was a pass play, but look at that first play of the second half where he caught the little screen pad. Well, it was actually a check down type play. And then he ran for 25 yards. I mean, he looked perfectly fine. Wouldn't you guys agree? He looked perfectly fine on that play. So I didn't think there was anything wrong with him. I didn't think there was a lot of space, but I thought he ran hard. You know, the only issue with McCaffrey is the nature of his injuries are such that, you know, and maybe it's just me, maybe you guys feel the same way, but every time he carries, I just like hope he doesn't get injured.
Right.
You know?
No, yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things now where I just hope that doesn't happen.
No, that's it. And that's how I'm going to watch Steph Curry this year with the Warriors, Donnie.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
No, it's just PTSD. Like, if that something happens, you know, hey.
So it's not fun watching it like that. What do you do it for then?
No, it's just you can't control it.
I know. So you go into a game. I'm just trying to get the mindset of fans.
I can help you.
Okay, for like me, Matt Steinmetz. Yeah. Here's Sunday at 1 o'clock, or is it 10 a.m.?
10.
All right, we got 10 a.m. game. All right, 49ers. I love it. Okay, let's go. And then you start watching. Like you guys go in and be like, oh God. Oh, no, we got this. What if McCaffrey gets hurt? Oh, no, like every play, are you biting your fingernails?
Yes.
That doesn't sound like fun to me.
Did you see McCaffrey call to come out the game? Every time, I'm watching like, was that natural? He just needs a couple minutes or something going on with the transmission. Like, Stoney, I don't think you ever escaped that with McCaffrey's type of injury history.
I'm just saying it doesn't sound fun to watch a 49er game.
No, I get
if that's the way you're looking at every carry from McCaffrey.
And what do you say from the PTSD that I have with Steph Curry? I'm watching that hammy all year long.
Okay, that doesn't sound like fun. That's all I'm saying. Watching a game and waiting for a guy to get hurt. I mean, I'm just saying. You know, I hope it doesn't take the fun out for you.
But no, just you got to watch, man. You just do.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in the city. And how we feeling, 49er fans? No Brock Purdy on Sunday. Let me ask you this. Who would you want as your starting quarterback? Mac Jones or Spencer Rattler?
Mac Jones. Yeah.
All right. So we still got an advantage.
And I'm hating on Rattler.
At the quarterback position.
They gave Arizona, they had a chance, an opportunity. But I think Mac Jones, 52 games started in this league, and you just wonder – had he had the tutelage, he didn't. But had he had the blessing to be under a guy like Kyle after getting drafted, what his career would be like. So it will be interesting and fun just to see how he performs. Now, he had a couple drives in the preseason. They went down and scored. I believe it was against the Chargers. So, I mean, Steiny, this is not your, you know, typical rookie dude that hadn't had – this dude has started 52 games. He started the playoff game. I'm like, that's on his resume.
It is on his resume, and, you know, so's, you know, all the struggles he's had since then, and I think he's 20 and 29 as a starter. You know, maybe he's the quintessential quarterback where if he's your starter, you're not very good, but if he's your backup, that means you got a pretty good starter and you'll be all right. But I'm interested in how 49er fans are not only now looking at the Saints game, but looking at, you know, the next month of the season and what this, like, who was the caller? Our main man who said, we're all right. We're going to be fine.
Right. Said Brock could play. If this were a playoff game, he could finish.
So, I'm always curious in how fans view a certain situation. Obviously, I know if I had to be a 49er fan, I'd be bummed that Brock Purdy's not playing. But I would still be I would absolutely be hopeful that we can still win some games while he's injured. I'm not like, you got to be hopeful that you can hang in there right now. That's how you gotta feel, right? If you're a Niner fan.
And that's why, again, I keep saying it's like the third time, Stoney, but I'll say it and I mean it. I gotta give Kyle credit for taking a flyer on Mac Jones. It's just kind of funny in life how it comes full circle. You know, allegedly, if he was really interested in Mac Jones on draft night or right before and something happened upstairs with the bosses, it didn't happen. But now he took a flyer on him, and Brock Purdy controls how long we are going to, or this injury, how long we're going to see Mac Jones. But Stoney, what if we're talking about, let's just say 3 weeks, and Mac Jones is playing probably for a job somewhere else. If he looks like he, okay, oh, wow, look at him with the tuxedo on and the patent leather shoes given by Kyle Shanahan. I mean, Mac Jones is playing for a lot too, not just the win, but other teams looking at him.
Yeah, I don't know if you meant it like this, but you said, I'm giving credit to Kyle for taking a flyer on Mac Jones.
Yeah, as far as the backup quarterback.
Yeah, I'm not yet. What if he stinks? I mean, like, what if he is absolutely ineffective?
But wouldn't you say before we find that out, and I get where you're going, he's better than what you have?
I don't know.
He's better than
Oh, I have no idea. Like, I have no idea. I would hope he'd be better than him. And it's funny that you said that. If you're telling me, if Mac Jones comes in here and plays three games and is absolute trash, let's just...
Gotcha.
Well, then what do we... Then Kyle... You wanted Trey Lance and this guy?
See, but like,
what
were you watching?
Why isn't it going to happen?
Because I believe Mac Jones has the same capability and skill set as Jimmy Garoppolo on a good day, Brock Purdy on a good day in this offense, and I just don't see
the
bottom
falling out. Well, then we shouldn't be worried.
You're right. And maybe come Monday when we get together again, you know, it is the Saints, but... Man, Stoney, we can't underestimate the fact that, or undersell the fact that Mac Jones has started 52 games. He's seen everything under the sun as far as what defenses are trying to do to him. And once you're a product of your environment, that's just what it is, and you get the blunt of the brain. You get, you know, a big part of the blame, and that's what happened. But this dude, like, you can look at me right now with your Harry Carey glasses and say he's not a stiff.
I don't, like, nothing he's done matters.
That's kind of different than, well, he led the team to the playoffs for rookie year.
That means nothing to me. It probably means even less to 49er fans. Like, 49er fans right now don't care what Mac Jones has
but
done.
But Kyle saw something in it.
We'll see. He saw something in Trey Lance, too. Yeah. Well, like, I'm not giving him credit for a guy who I haven't seen play
but
yet.
But that's different, though.
What do you mean?
He was unknown. At least you got footage of Mac Jones coming out of college, playing big-time college football, and what he's done.
Well, what if his assessment of Mac Jones is about as accurate as it was for Trey Lance?
Then you got a problem.
Yeah. So But as of right now, I'm working under the assumption that Mac Jones can come in here and help you win a couple games
and
while
hold it
Brock
down.
Purdy is gone. But I also realize he is a backup quarterback. But, and again, this is where Kyle Shanahan earns his money. And this is why so many people around the NFL think that Kyle Shanahan is a great coach, because this is where the 49ers, this is the way I look at it, or this is the way I think the people that love Kyle Shanahan think of it, is the 49ers are going to play on Sunday, they're probably going to win, and they're still going to look kind of like they've always looked with their backup quarterback. And then everybody will say, see, that's why Kyle Shanahan's the man.
Not totally. And I'll say this as far as what I've written down mentally that kind of stinks about Brock Purdy being out this early. Stoney, I saw it in the Raider game. I won't run from it. But he and Ricky Pearsall had some telepathy going. I mean, 4 for 108. We saw the big throw, 45-yarder, you know, to win the game, to help set you up to win the game. And now you got to come in with a new quarterback to see, and maybe Mac Jones picks up right where Brock left off, but that kind of stinks to me because I wanted to see this Pearsall-Brock Purdy connection.
But you know, else has
you know, continue, and I will if you tell me, oh, Guru, he'll be back in 4 weeks, but that's called the pause button. Like, that was a thing, and we got it right out to shoot, and now we got to see if, you know, who's – it won't be Kittle, I can tell you that. It, with him you being might, on IR.
I'd need to look at the – how long was Bourne in New England?
There you go. Right?
Matt Jones may have a better connection with Kendrick Bourne than Purdy does with Pearsall.
So you expect Bourne to be active? I don't know, but you could be on to something. They definitely played.
I mean, I think that – and maybe it hinges something on Juwan Jennings and his status, but
– do you know what that is? Because I left here Monday.
Questionable day-to-day.
I got you.
Questionable or day-to-day. Anybody out there worried about Brock Purdy's long-term health because of this?
Well, last year he missed a game, right? It was for a shoulder, but wasn't that the throwing shoulder? So I know this is the non-throwing shoulder, and if I'm correct, then nothing to see here. But, I mean, it's football, Stoney, right? The dude's not the biggest guy, you know, in the quarterback classroom, but I just
–
I'm mad.
To people out there, it's a 17-game season, and I know – like, Purdy's played 15 and 16 games the last 2 years.
You got to give him a
break. That's a full season. Here's my thing. Okay, let's have a little fun here. There's 17 NFL games. What's the game range that you determine in your mind is pretty much a full season as opposed to a guy being hurt?
14.
Yeah, I'm around there too.
14.
Like 14, that's a full season. Yeah. 13,
not idea, but
right?
Yeah.
13, you still probably take. To me, 12 is now.
And I feel like that's why Jimmy Garoppolo, that's what killed Jimmy Garoppolo. They couldn't count on him. And then if you got the bad version of his play, that Kyle just couldn't live that way.
Right. Like now in the NBA, what's a full season?
66? I was gonna say 65. I mean,
if somebody plays 66 games, it's like you're like, that's great. Well, what an Iron Man. So he's still playing consistently, even though he's been banged up a little bit. All right, here we go. 888-957-9570 is the number. Mac Jones going to start down in New Orleans on Sunday. Does it change your expectation of the game at all? I got to believe you felt like this was a game the 49ers can win. You still feel that way. What about the season in general as we, go to week two, week three, week four? General Manager John Lynch said they are considering the Brock Purdy injury as a week-to-week situation, and he won't play this weekend, obviously, and I guess we'll find out about the game against the Cardinals, but that doesn't look too good either at this point. We'll see if things change or not, but yes, that is the that's obviously the home opener. But 888-957-9570 is the number. Is Mac Jones your biggest concern now going into the New Orleans Saints game, or do you still have other worries? Has Mac Jones now become pretty much your biggest concern, or do the 49ers still have other issues that you saw in week one that you would want to be addressed? 888-957-9570 is the number. That segment was brought to you by the California Office of Traffic Safety, and Caltrans.
My mom.
My papa.
My daddy.
We're stuck Caltrans on the freeway,
right next to speeding cars.
Please be careful.
Be alert.
Be work zone alert.
Brought to you by the kids of Caltrans.
Come into Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill, September 20th.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Delicate with those calves.
We need Thundercats.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Dale the Guru Johnson back in the house today. So you just like a flu bug.
Yeah, I thought it was COVID coming out of both ends. And, you know, when that happens, you're already thinking, oh, boy. I was almost at work when I told you guys. Remember, I was like, yeah, let's do this, that. And then I had to go to the gas station bathroom, which I never do.
I haven't used a gas station bathroom in my entire life.
So you haven't.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was about to say, good for you, but.
So when you left Sacramento, you were feeling fine.
Yeah. No, yeah. No, I was coming from Norms.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I was coming from Norms. All right. So took the COVID test. God, I won't even say what you got to do to get one of those tests these days, but bottom line is I didn't have it. Had a fever, and that's when I said, okay, something's going on. And then I saw you and Evan working. I felt bad, but then I got mad at Evan. He don't know.
No!
Okay.
Look, the Giants are amazing right now, but it's not because of Drew Gilbertson. And the choking thing, I just, is it because of my age? I don't know if I don't like it. Study, you can't do that. And just go back to baseball. Evan, what am I missing on the... Hey, I love energy. You know that's what I am. But there's something about the choking thing that I don't like it, E.
It is extremely over the top. But I don't know. Like, you've been the guy all year. And I've been reluctant to admit that I think that the Giants have been completely lifeless. But... they were.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
And he's kind of defibrillated them.
Oh, my goodness.
By the way, they lost yesterday. Who didn't play?
Oh, boy. Here we go, Snotty. And then when he did the thing with his head, like the exorcist, I'm like, little Daryl and I are watching the game. Like, I didn't know how to explain it to him, Snotty. Do we got a Drew Gilbert here at the station? You know what I mean? Like, I would love to be Drew Gilbert,
well,
but
you might be close.
I bring hot takes.
I mean, you bring, like, if we just boil it down to enthusiasm and we don't make a judgment, positive or negative, I would say that, yeah, like, for example, you have more in common with Drew Gilbert than I do.
No, the choking, when I saw Chapman.
So you didn't hear what I said?
No.
Oh, Major League Baseball is going to step in.
So you don't like it either?
You can. No, of course not. You cannot celebrate a home run by choking a guy.
I want to like it. Like, I'm rooting for him.
Didn't they get rid of that in the NBA when they slit the throat thing?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just something, man. I'm like, you know, I'm about fun, man.
I wouldn't be surprised if you start watching the Giants and that just goes away. And then I would encourage a beat writer to say, hey, how come you don't do that anymore? And they'll say, oh, league sent us a
so
memo.
So Evan knows you're not a fan of it.
I'm not.
Okay.
I
just saw the thing from the station account, and I go, I can't hate on the kid, but Snotty, they're two back.
Yeah, it's a shame you weren't here the previous 2 days. They were in better shape than they were today. In fact, I came in.
Well, they've never been as close as two, so they're still two. But
they were closer yesterday.
Right.
They were closer yesterday. Because now they have fewer games.
Yesterday, I give you that.
They were in a better spot than they'd been probably in months and months.
And I saw Willard and Christy and Evan at the game. I believe that was the night I got
together. Which they apparently stayed on separate sides of the stadium.
Well, when
now
you
why,
one
why,
guy was in the bleachers,
why are you
messy,
doing that?
Messy
well, one guy was the
Shout
one guy was
Mar.
No, you just said you were in the bleachers, and I know Willard was in the front room.
Yeah, he invited me to come sit with him, but I was with a group.
That's who Willard is. I knew that. You are just messy.
He didn't. They just never connected.
Yeah, like you and I, you did Chris Paul, and you would disappear on me.
They never connected,
but you were really
hiding. They were the same building.
Remember, you used to hide from me at the Oracle. Evan, we do pre and post. Soon as pre was over, I'm like, hey, you want to sit together?
No.
This dude would be hiding from me. Like, that was the game within the you hid from me.
Hide from you. I don't like watching the game with people when I'm there. I'm just like you watching on TV when I'm watching in person.
Wait a minute. So you like watching football with people, but you don't like watching basketball with people?
In person. Yeah. In person.
Now, I know we're going to get back to the Niners. I do have to say something. Saturday, I'm back excited.
Of course.
The sport of boxing has a blockbuster Canelo in.
And who?
Bud Crawford. Like, this isn't Bud Crawford.
I've never heard of
Terrence
him.
Bud Crawford. Anyway, Stoddy, this is.
Is it boxing?
Yeah, but it's boxing. But then Evan goes,
boxing still
Canelo's
around?
80. He's older, and you kind of ruined it, But Stoddy, boxing at its best is a beautiful scientific
sport. Well, it hasn't been at its best in six decades, so I don't
Saturday,
really know what you're talking about.
This is a big one. Evan Conner, Canelo's up there.
You know why it's a big one?
It is.
Because apparently you can get it for free, I heard.
I was ready to pay. It's on Netflix. Evan told me that.
All right.
Shout out Adam Silver. What a loser.
We're on the James Joyce segment of the show.
I don't know who that is.
One of the most famous writers in history. No, he's dead.
Oh.
He's from Ireland originally.
Okay.
You know what he was famous for?
No.
Stream of consciousness.
Now, that's a four.
All right, so let's go to Adam Silver. We're at Drew Gilbert. Now let's go to Adam Silver.
How could you tell hardworking people basically deal with it? Our sport's a highlight sport. No, your sport is one of nuance, one of...
It's not.
Athleticism. It's not just highlights. I didn't like it, and it just sounded worse. How about
if
that?
If you don't know what Guru's talking about, Adam Silver met with the media yesterday after the Board of Governors meetings, and they asked him about the high price of watching the NBA on TV now that you need multiple subscriptions. And what Adam Silver said is there is plenty of free content out there. In other words, the more platforms that you get people to pay for, then the more highlights they'll put out free of charge.
Just stop. I didn't like that coming from him. I thought I knew him. But that was like, you know, when I was single, I used to date a young girl. She didn't call back after the first date. I told her where I worked, and she goes, I didn't call back. I appreciated the honesty. You don't make six digits. So I didn't make enough for her. So that hurt, but that's what Adam was telling people. They can't afford all these streaming services. Like, when did it get there, man? We just are selling our soul and everything behind it for a dollar.
What about, and this is...
Everybody don't have it these days.
What about, so you're famous for saying, but the highlights...
Okay, that comes after during the game.
Hey, no, don't do that. Do that after 2 days off.
No.
I've been inundated here.
I was sick.
You are famous. You have a drop.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just saying, can you clarify?
Hey, highlights are they're produced from the game.
Right.
But I love the game. Then you get to the highlight.
Yeah.
But don't tell me I'm going to get the nuance of the game just from the highlight. That's ghetto as hell. Well, and Adam, just say it's all about the dollar.
You know what he should have said? Get a job.
See,
you can watch the game.
Now, I don't think that went over well, especially with everything that's going on in the
Make
world today.
Make some more money if you want to watch the game.
I don't know why I'm mad at you. That didn't hit. I didn't like that.
I mean, I didn't like it either. I'm just messing around. I got to tell you, Silver's not doing it for me anymore.
That is, wow.
He just... but we got a new NBA format in the All-Star game. It's going to be like the Ryder Cup.
Oh, what about this? Oh, this boy. Made me jump up and I had chicken noodle soup, which is very underrated. Listen, so we talked about the guys in the NBA that don't like messing up their field goal percentage with the end of the quarter or half heaves. Mm-hmm. Adam Silver fixed that. That will not go on the individual's ledger, but yet it'll go on the team's field goal percentage. I kind of like it. So get ready for more heaves. Because remember, we used to point out guys that wouldn't do it. Carmelo wouldn't do it.
Thank you, Gu.
Yeah, Jordan Poole wouldn't do it.
Thank you.
I love it.
So what happens if you make one?
But it's
does
so
that go to the individual?
No, it goes.
It shouldn't.
Right. So it goes to the team. That I don't know.
You think if Steph Curry makes a 70-footer, it ain't going on his BS?
If you make it,
you'll get credit for it. If you miss it, you won't. I guarantee you that's the way they do it.
They want to encourage more heaves. Yeah, that's what I was doing while I was out. But anyway, wow. That's a pretty good one to
just,
me.
Yeah, just another small piece of cosmetic crap that
now this
falls under
though.
The umbrella of we're making the game better, meaning we're making the game worse.
That is great.
Let's tilt the game more so that we can appease individual player statistics. We want everybody to shoot a great percentage. And while we're at it, you know what? We're not going to, you know what's coming next? We're not going to keep, I guarantee you, we're not going to keep track of individual turnovers anymore.
Could you imagine?
I'm telling you, that's what we're going to.
It's not there yet.
We're just going to go team turnovers.
You know how many dudes would benefit from that?
Adam Silver. Yeah, you know, we're one thing we're working on is we're removing the free throw percentage from player statistics because we just think it's really unfair that when people go to Basketball Reference, they can see that Shaquille O'Neal wasn't a great free throw shooter, and we don't want any negativity associated with our league. So we're going to get, we're going to stop doing, field goal and free throw percentage don't mean anything either.
That is pretty lame. Pretty good.
NBA, man. Slipping.
It's fantastic.
You want to tell Goo Steiny how things used to be?
I can. Can you be more specific?
About a heave.
Our generation didn't, So
I'm excited.
This is why there's everything that's wrong with this. And Evan and I have a disagreement with this.
Shocker.
But he, for the sake of this, he'll acknowledge you. I'm right. Players did used to take 60-footers back in the day. And yes, they got credit for a shot that they missed. And you know what? You know what happened back then?
What?
If you were a guy who didn't take a 60-footer, in order to protect your percentage, you would get policed in the locker room by your teammates.
Oh, no, I love that. That's what cloth I'm from.
On a team, and I'm playing with my teammate Gary Swavely, and we're down two at the end of the third quarter.
I love it.
And he's dribbling up from 60, and he's like, I'm not going to shoot
those
it.
Those are selfish, you know
that's
what?
That's right.
Yeah,
that. Swavely would have shot it. Though,
yeah, but I love that.
Okay, do you want to tell him the other part now? Reality.
Which is?
So Steiny says this to me, that back in the day, they would take heaves because they didn't care about their field goal percentage because, they're soft nowadays. So I went back to multiple 1986. I did some more research last night.
No, you didn't.
1986 Boston Celtics games.
Oh,
a finals game and a regular season game. Both times there was an opportunity in those games for a player to take a half court or a three-quarters court heave. They did exactly what the players do nowadays, which is take one dribble with 1 second left and then shoot it specifically after the horn hit zero count.
It's human nature.
No,
I get it,
No, it's
man.
Not.
Thank you, Evan.
Here's what he's wrong about on this.
Different than us.
So he shows me this play of Ralph Sampson getting a rebound.
It was Akeem without the H.
Was it?
It was Olajuwon.
All right, so Olajuwon gets a rebound right under the basket. There's like 3 seconds left, okay? He rebounds it. He turns. He's literally going to take a 75-footer. He's going to take an attempt under the other basket and just throw it the length of the court.
It.
As he starts to do it, there's a guy who's trying to rebound also, like jumps up to block it. So he pulls it back.
Yeah,
and he takes a dribble away from the guy, then shoots it, and he's like late by a quarter second. He just happened not to get it off in time, and he was fully prepared to take a baseball throw of a 75-footer.
Or maybe he was looking to pass it to someone down court. Now give him Trapuka.
Kelly, what about him?
He took a dribble with a second left at the midcourt line.
He strikes me as that time looking at his percentage.
He actually
strikes me as the type
that would take
any
shot he could get.
Kelly, he would let him. Evan, I appreciate the research. So Stoney, they did care.
That's only two.
They did care, though. Like,
they cared more.
I'm not mad at it.
You guys cared about your stats. It's okay.
Like, I played with guys that knew during the game how many points they had.
I could never keep track. You know what? You know what? I kept track of my assists.
Yeah, I bet.
That's what I do. As long as we're on it, because you brought this up, and we got fine. You wanted to hear this, Steph Curry.
Yeah.
I was always told by a wise man when I was getting into the league, like, you want to leave the league in a better place than when you found it. And I think just the way that you see the skill level right now, the way that the range is kind of taking over, and guys shooting threes all over the court. But just from 1 through 5 and all the way down the roster, I think this is the most skilled, you know, era of basketball history. And so whether that was, you know, young kids in the game now seeing, you know, my generation, the way that I play and getting inspired by that, like, that for me is important and something I don't take for granted. And then also being able to extend your prime. Like, I'm going into year 17 and really have this belief that I, you know, can be at the top of my game again and win at the highest level. So I'm just trying to get every, you know,
squeeze the most out of it. That's the word.
Until it's all over.
All right, that dude is incredible,
let
man.
Let me set this up for you.
Damn.
And
damn.
Why is that incredible?
Because he sounded like the basketball version of Oppenheimer. Everything that he said, I disagree with one thing. He squeezed the most out. This dude is incredible. 17 years, got action.
It's not about what he's done. It's what's ahead.
But
hear it?
Yeah, that was the part that got me excited. I'm just like, give him flowers for what he's already done.
So yesterday, Evan hears that, and he says, Steiny, Curry thinks this is the greatest year of skill in NBA. And I was like, I didn't respond right away. And I said to myself, you know what? Evan might be right.
He's not.
Hold on.
Okay.
And I said, and I basically made it. I said to myself, you know what? I don't feel like talking about that today because I don't. He might be right. Evan might be right.
But
he's Curry's
not.
Right.
And Curry's not.
Okay. Yeah. So what I'll say is, and I'm not just doing this. I should let you and Evan talk about this because I really don't have a strong opinion about whether or not this is the best basketball skill-wise that's ever been played of all time. I'm not, you know what? I'm not in this one.
But you know this. This is the most one-dimensional basketball we've ever seen. Evan, guys like Curry's put in his work. Kyrie, the bronze of the world. But guys don't know how to play without the ball. Back in the day, you had to do that just to get a shot off. So that the post is dead. Guys don't even know what to do. They have no movement with the on the block, except Luka and the good ones. That just ruined it, but the shout out Dave Fleming. But listen, Steiny.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm telling you, this, it's obvious. They're one-trick ponies right now in the league. Oh, is the range better? Oh, my gosh, it is. But outside of that, do you know who you're talking to? Mark Aguirre, the Kelly Trapukas, Alex English, Evan, all the guys, Dennis John. This, what we said it, you said it, Evan, it's too many threes. Where's the skill outside of the dribbling? I'll give you the handle, okay?
That's two.
Well, no, but I'm talking about the big...
I'm sorry, I should have jumped in.
Evan, your thoughts. I know I'm babbling.
Well, I think that there's certainly less skill inside the three-point line.
All right, and
But because 1 through 5 on most teams are able to shoot threes, I think his point is you need more skill because there's more space on the court.
Yeah.
Like, you have to do more things. Now, while the post game is dead and there's players taking less mid-range shots, it's kind of because those shots just aren't valuable anymore. It's not that they can't do it, but like, if you're going to play in the post, you have to be like Jokic, who is shooting, but that's an efficient shot for him. Like, you know, if you give the ball in the post to Jonathan Kuminga 18 times a game, you might not get the most efficient amount of out of your offense. Yeah.
You giving in that easy?
No, I'm
you
not giving in that easy to me. Because Evan's my guy. That's my brother. But if we get the chance to sit with Steph this year, and hopefully we do, I'll bring this up. You task me with that to be like, come on. Just like you did with you asked him about what LeBron said. But Steiny, he can't believe that. I know, and maybe I'm doing a horrible job explaining, but and Evan just said it so eloquently.
Well, I mean,
in regard to outside or below the 3-point line, but miss me.
I know we got to.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we got to.
Come on, man.
Be more. Okay. But hold on. I'll play mediator here. Clear, like, we need to be more specific. Have you ever seen highlights of Mikan, George Mikan?
Yep, some vaguely,
okay, so
yeah.
Certainly we can't sit here and say the skill level and athleticism back then
and
was as good as it. Okay.
So JJ Redick was right up until that point when he called those guys plumbers.
So when are we saying that the skill level?
Late 80s, 90s, the early 2000s. Oh my gosh.
Well, I would say, well, what about 1975?
Yeah, give me a name.
David Thompson and Julius Erving.
But that's when it starts to take off. That's when the high really start to take off. But I'm talking about Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, Tim Hardaway, Chris Mullin, Chris Webber, bigs that could hit the Hakeem, Patrick Ewing. All those dudes were fundamentally sound. But still, Stoddy, he would hit that 15, 20 feet in your face all day long. Reggie Miller, the Flying Dutchman. I could keep going.
Who's the Flying Dutchman?
Smits from Indiana.
The Dunking Dutchman. He was a center. He barely could jump. They wouldn't have called him the Flying Dutchman.
I guess in my world, he was the Flying.
He was the Dunking Dutchman.
Stoddy, that was not what we called him in the youth. He was the Flying Dutchman, the Dunking. Nah. Anyway, those are my Penny Hardaway. That's my era, man. I saw skill night in, night out, Stoney, that I don't see now.
Well, I don't think that the skill level among the great players is in question. It's the skill level among the guys on the back half of the roster. For example, in the 90s, how many guys in Lonnie Walker's position would be able to step in a fourth quarter and eviscerate another team?
Give me a year. Just throw a year out.
I mean, let's do 86. Like the 1986 Celtics, who was the seventh or eighth man on that team, and could he do what Lonnie Walker did in the second round of a playoff game? I don't know. I mean, Walker, who is, by the way, never been heard from again.
Right, yeah.
He scored 14 points in the fourth quarter to help them win a series.
Okay, so the Celtics in 86.
And he might have a point because nobody came to mind.
All right. Well, they had Bill Walton as a sixth man, so that's a little bit of an outlier.
Yeah.
Now, the guy that's interesting to me is Lonnie Walker and a guy named Scott Wedman.
Okay.
All right. Scott Wedman was like a seventh or eighth man. Great shooter. Lonnie Walker, definitely a better athlete. No doubt about
it.
And Wedman had a great game in game one of an NBA Finals.
But I would take Walker over those two dudes.
Is Wedman getting his own shot? Game is more dependent on the other players on the floor. I think that's what Steph is saying, is like guys have to do so many more things just to get in the game.
I think Wedman's a bad one because he was a really, really good player. Like 15, 16, 18, 18, 19, 19. He averaged over 17 a game for like seven straight years when he was in Kansas City. Anyway, but Lonnie Walker, and then they had a guy named Jerry Seasting,
Like, yeah, but
that Jerry Cease thing was.
I like him, Stoney, but he wasn't that guy. I don't think he could do.
But he was as fundamentally skilled as anybody.
He'd run the offense, but he wasn't going to get you buckets.
No, he wasn't. He's not Lonnie Walker, and he's not athletic. But his skill level was like he handled the ball terrific. He was athletic enough to function as a 6'2" white guard in the league. Yeah. You know, he could shoot it. Was smart. I don't know. All right. We'll get back to football on the other side on 95.7.
Points the game, taken, though. I hear you guys.
All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. Brock Purdy, he is not going to be playing Sunday against the Saints. And the question I have for 49er fans is, does that change your outlook? Not only for the time that Purdy's out, but for the regular season. There's no doubt it's a blow. But is it a quote-unquote death knell? I don't see it that way. Let's talk about it on the other side. If you want to jump in early, 888-957-9570. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. That segment was also brought to you by Moderna.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.